as we see in this very quote, that the states are the laboratories of democracy, and then my state, Arizona, is clearly the meth lab of democracy.
Welcome aboard the Monday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Hi there, Mark Congleton here, your occasionally humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. Hope you had a great weekend, and I appreciate the fact that you're coming along for the ride on this Monday morning. Good to have you along wherever or whenever you may be listening, whether it's on Facebook Live as we send the feed out each weekday morning from 8 to 9 Central, on the Facebook pages, my Facebook page, and on the Daily Perspective podcast page, two places on Facebook. Or maybe you're a podcast listener and you've been listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or the TuneIn Radio app, any of those places. If you're a subscriber, thank you so much. If you're not, why not? Get signed up today. Just go to any of those places and get signed up and have the podcast delivered to your favorite listening device. And give it a thumbs up and a little review while you're there, why don't you? It is a Monday edition of the podcast, just back in off the road after being in Pensacola for the weekend. Went down to visit my dad and some other family members. Had a good time, ate too much, as we always do when we do family visits, because everybody feels compelled to feed you. Isn't that a great thing? I mean, that's a wonderful family thing, don't you think? That when you go visit relatives, you go visit family, they feel like it's their duty, their responsibility, their calling in life to stuff you as full as possible with great food. And so it happened on our family visit to Pensacola. It was good to see folks. I got to spend some time with my cousin Bob, when we were kids, I used to look forward to summers. Because I would go down to and spend a couple of solid weeks, two solid weeks back to back in Pensacola with my grandparents, and my cousin Bobby was always, you know, he's just a couple of blocks away. And because of him, I got my first ride on a motorcycle with him. We had a lot of fun together, and he put up with me because he's a little older than I am. I was glad to have that guy in my life at that point, and we did a little catching up over the weekend. Bless his heart, he's been through some spinal surgeries, and he's had a tough time, but it looks like things are turning around for him, and I'm glad for that. Got to spend some time there. That's also where my Aunt Joyce lives. They live in Gulf Breeze, Florida. Yes, Gulf Breeze, the place that was famous some decades back for UFO sightings, and they live right on the bay, and it was just... going to visit her house is just wonderful. I've posted pictures of it on my social media. And if you're one of my friends and you've seen those pictures, the trees, the Spanish moss, the water in the background, that's her place. It's just, she has a great porch with rocking chairs that you can sit on a nice day and just literally forget the entire world as you stare off into the distance across the water. This is how I want to retire, just so you know. I want to go someplace with no interference, nobody bothering me, and just be able to fish when I want and do what I want and sit out on the porch and stare at the water from time to time. Oh, that would be, wouldn't that be awesome? Ah, it would be so awesome. But as usual, all good things come to an end. And so we had to make our way back after a late breakfast yesterday. Got back into town late yesterday afternoon and caught up with the housework that we didn't get done because we were visiting over the weekend, and settled in last night, and we're very thankful to be back off the road. What is it about driving for 4 or 5 hours that just makes you feel like you've been run over by a Mack truck? I don't know what it is, but it's good to have the trip over with. It's good to be home. Great to see family, but it's also good to be home. A lot of things have happened over the weekend. There's things that have been breaking in the news. And let's deal with a handful of little things in this first segment before we actually move forward with other more weighty things. I don't know if they're more weighty or not. But let's just tick off a few things here. First up, the coronavirus. The Nova coronavirus. There are lots of things circulating on the web about it. Of course, as these things always happen, there are those who will post all of the conspiracy theory things. They may be true, they may not. That's why they call them theories. But there are those who are saying this was engineered by the intelligence community, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, okay, fine. Don't know if it's true or not. At this point, it doesn't matter. There are people dying. As of the time I put my notes together, that number in China was 56 people, maybe more by now. I didn't check this morning. 56 people. In America last year, the flu, influenza, killed 6,000 people. 6,000. Over 100 times as many people died of the flu last year in America as have died from the coronavirus so far. We're finding more and more cases for it. There are a handful in California now. But at this point, there's no reason to panic over the coronavirus. Keep your eyes open. Keep your ears open. Pay attention. But don't panic. This kind of thing happens. Doesn't it happen just about every year that some horrible virus is discovered and people die and everybody goes into a purple panic over it? Don't panic. Be informed. But don't panic. Remember, 6,000 Americans died from the flu last year. Only around between 50 and 60 have died in China so far from this. Another thing. There was what they call a bombshell. Aren't you tired of that word? Bombshell. A bombshell video of Trump calling for the firing of Ambassador Yovanovitch. This is being treated as though it is a bombshell, but it doesn't reveal any substantive new information. If you've been paying attention, you have known for quite a while that Trump wanted her removed. You also have to keep in mind that foreign policy and those who represent our foreign policy fall under the authority of the President of the United States. He sets foreign policy, not these people, not the advisors, not the people in the field. They don't set foreign policy. The President establishes foreign policy. The rest of these people put it into play. The President's authority. He sets it and determines who represents us. He is not bound to follow the policy of those people or the advice presented by those people, especially those people from prior administrations which established disastrous foreign policy. Yeah. Which happened under 8 years of the Obama transformation. Fundamental transformation of the United States of America. They not only went on an apology tour around the world, they implemented policies which cut our legs out from under us around the world. And Trump is slowly but surely eliminating the people that executed that policy. Now here's a little stuff to remember about this particular recording. This recording possibly violates the Espionage Act. So whoever actually made the recording could be in a lot of legal trouble. This was a confidential meeting. The people there did not want to be photographed. It was a confidential meeting of government officials secretly recorded. It could violate the Espionage Act. The recording also exonerates the president from the charges against him as it ties to Yovanovitch. Donald Trump wanted to investigate Ukrainian corruption, and he wanted to fire Ambassador Yovanovitch in April of 2018. April of 2018. Yovanovitch served in her position for almost a year after that. She wasn't fired until a year later. Also, this happened in April of 2018. Joe Biden didn't announce his candidacy until over a year after this happened. There is no way to tie firing Yovanovitch and pursuing corruption in the Ukraine to Joe Biden's candidacy. Keep that in mind. John Bolton's book has leaked. How convenient. How oddly convenient. The timing is so, convenient, don't you think? John Bolton was fired by President Trump. He appears to be running the exact same revenge play against President Trump that James Comey played. The same thing. Did you know John Bolton has the same agent as James Comey? Did you know that the leaks went to the same reporters as the Comey leaks? No, you probably didn't. Because that's not being talked about. It's all very oddly convenient, and it's all very oddly similar. He's mad at Trump for firing him because he leaked then and he was trying to start up new wars. It's boring. It's predictable. But you don't know about it unless you've done your homework. The leak is very suspiciously convenient. It's a huge nothing burger. Another huge nothing burger. So that's something you can file away for future reference. Do a little homework. You'll find out the same agent, the leak went to the same reporters. The New York Times got it from the same sources. And he was mad because Trump fired him for leaking and trying to start new wars. So here we have another disgruntled employee bad-mouthing his former boss. And I don't know if you've noticed this like I have, but my friends, my liberal friends on social media, when they talk about all of these people who say horrible things about Donald Trump and they make these accusations about the way he did business and they make accusations about racism, it seems that all of those accusations are coming from disgruntled former employees and union employees who didn't get the breaks they thought they should have. Have you noticed a common thread when it comes to people like this who complain about their former employers? They're all people who are never happy with anything. They're all people who hate the company they work for but love the union that represents them. They're all people who are never satisfied. They all have a bone to pick with somebody about something. And I don't know about you, but I know liberal people who never have a good thing to say about any company, even the one currently responsible for making sure their rent is paid by paying them for what they do. They don't have good things to say. Now, they have good things to say about the people they work with, but they don't have good things to say about the company they work for. It seems they're always angry. They're always upset. And they're always accusing the company or the president of their company of getting rich off of their backs and the work they do. But if you actually use your brain, you'll realize that these employees, these disgruntled, unhappy employees who never have a good thing to say, are actually getting their bills paid off of the back of the person who gave them a job. It really is the other way around, isn't it? So that's something to keep in mind when you hear all of this stuff about John Bolton's new book. He was angry with the president, PO'd about the fact he got fired, and how oddly interesting that he's using the same agent and he's leaking to the same reporters. Odd, isn't it? And before we hit the break, Kobe Bryant. On the road on the way back, we saw the news starting to pop up as we scanned our social media, or as my wife, Jane, scanned social media. She took a deep breath, gasped, and said, "Oh no, Kobe Bryant, helicopter crash." It's a very sad time. A very, very sad time for the Bryant family and all who were close to him. And the fans will be at a loss. So remember the Bryant family and those close to him in your prayers today. It's never easy to lose a loved one. It's especially hard when the wolves in the media want to make news out of it.
Great googly moogly.
Ain't it the truth? Great googly moogly. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. Good to have you along today. Speaking of Kobe Bryant, there was a Washington Post reporter on Twitter over the weekend who, within moments, within half an hour of the news breaking, felt it necessary to share a link to an article about rape accusations made against Kobe Bryant in the past. And for the life of me, I will never understand the compulsion that some people in the news media have to demonstrate their self-righteousness and their obvious intellectual and moral superiority by dragging dirt up about people right when they've died. Stop and think about this. The family, I honestly hope, the family didn't find out about this crash from the news. But you can pretty much bet they did. So they're reeling from the impact that they've lost two members of their family. There were 9 people total that passed away. 9. And so this family has lost a dad and a daughter. A husband, dad, daughter, sister. And they're reeling from the news. And some bird brain at the Washington Post decided, oh, now's a good time to remind everybody, well, he was a dirtbag. He was accused of rape. You self-righteous weasel. How horrible of a person. This person's on leave right now. They're on administrative leave. Which pretty much means they're getting a paid vacation while the Washington Post lets it all cool down, and then they'll let her come back and do her job again. And quite frankly, that's very sad. It's a very sad state of affairs. Terrible, terrible thing. And I hate it for their family. I really, really hate it for the family. And I hope, like I said before the break, I hope you'll remember them. Because they really do need the support right now. Because it's a horrible thing to go through. Horrible times. You know, our family, my wife's family, one of my wife's sisters was murdered. And it was kind of a high-profile thing on the news in our area. And it's not an easy thing to go through. It's the loss is a horrible, horrible thing. It's very difficult for everyone to go through. And the last thing you want to see is someone in the news speculating or spewing or being an idiot about something that affects your family that way. So please remember. Moving forward, let's see. Let me get back to where I was. I open this page back up. The Republican National Committee released a powerful new digital ad Friday. It highlights the extremist ideologies that have taken over the Democrat Party, which threatens the freedoms of all Americans. And I'll go back over the highlights. I'll go back over the highlights after you hear it. I want to play you the audio. It's 2.5 minutes long. But I want to play you the audio of this ad, and then we'll go back through it.
Portland is bracing for more Antifa protests.
At least 2 journalists in Virginia were assaulted by violent counter-protesters over 12 years if we don't address climate change.
In time, hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47.
Congresswoman Ilhan Omar under attack for anti-Semitic tweets.
By 2030, no more cars. By 2035, no more production of electricity.
The Green New Deal go too far?
No. You cannot go too far on the issue of climate change.
Coal-burning plants. No one's going to build another coal-burning. We've got to shut the ones down we have.
Sometimes American journalists talk about how bad a country is because people are lining up for food. That's a good thing.
They would strip Americans of their constitutional rights.
There will be people that don't turn their guns back in. What's the next step?
A visit by law enforcement?
To gun owners out there who say, well, a Biden administration means they're going to come for my guns.
Bingo.
Use the power of the law to punish their opponents.
What you want to do is destroy this guy's life, hold this seat open, and hope you win in 2020.
They would shut down your free speech.
I would love to be able to regulate the content of speech. The First Amendment prevents me from doing so.
Religious institutions, should they lose their tax-exempt status if they oppose same-sex marriage?
Yes.
Well, earlier this month, Governor Andrew Cuomo signed a bill and the law legalizes abortion right to the moment of birth.
The governor of Virginia, he stated he would execute a baby after birth.
A plan that takes away 165 million people's private health care plans. The government is now in charge of your child's health care plans.
Raise your hand if your government plan would provide coverage for undocumented immigrants.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
Because we're going to go in there, we're going to impeach the motherfucker.
Get rid of the Electoral College.
They will pay more in taxes.
Our radical Democrat opponents are driven by hatred, prejudice, and rage. They want to destroy you. They only care about their own political power.
Boy, y'all want power. God, I hope you never get it.
Now, here's some of the highlights. At the beginning, there was audio of news reports talking about Antifa violence. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez saying the world will end in 12 years. Beto O'Rourke. Remember Beto saying that Democrats are going to confiscate Americans' guns? Elizabeth Warren saying she wants to eliminate cars and electricity. Cars by 2030. Did you catch that? In 10 years from now, no more cars. Bernie Sanders saying you cannot go too far on pushing radical climate agendas. Joe Biden saying he wants to shut down coal-burning plants. Think about all those jobs. So many already lost, and Joe wants to strip employment away from even more people. Bernie Sanders saying it's a good thing when people line up in bread lines. Beto O'Rourke saying he will have law enforcement go to people's homes to confiscate their guns. Joe Biden agreeing that a Biden administration means they're going to come for my guns. Ted Lieu saying, I would love to be able to regulate the content of speech, but the First Amendment prevents me from doing so. Beto again agreeing with the statement, religious institutions should lose tax-exempt status if they oppose same-sex marriage. The video also highlighted how Democrats want to increase people's taxes, want to control everyone's health care, and want to abolish the Electoral College. RNC spokesman Steve Guest told the Daily Wire, the past week of Adam Schiff and his fellow impeachment managers ranting and raving has shown the American people one thing. Democrats only want power. From taking away constitutional rights to eliminating entire industries to taking away your health care, congressional and 2020 Democrats' quest for power knows no bounds as they lead the charge to shut down the freedoms Americans enjoy. He continued, a reminder, tyranny has many forms. Republicans led by Donald Trump are working hard every day to stop the Democrat takeover. In November, the RNC released an ad that hit Democrats over comments that they made on impeachment. There was Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez saying this is about preventing a potentially disastrous outcome from occurring next year, referring to the election this November. Dina Titus of Nevada saying, I'd like to impeach the right now. Adam Schiff of California, that charlatan in the White House. Nancy Pelosi, an imposter. We cannot accept a second term from Donald Trump. Maxine Waters, he really should be punished, and I'm not running for anything except the impeachment of Trump. And Rashida Tlaib, we're going to impeach the mother bleeper. And Al Green of Texas, if we don't impeach this president, he will get re-elected. The quote from Ocasio-Cortez came from an interview she gave to CNN in which she admitted that the impeachment was purely political, a purely political exercise for the Democrats, and was about trying to unify the different factions of their party. She said, at the end of the day, we have to be able to come together as a caucus, and if it is this Ukrainian allegation that is what brings the caucus together, then I think we have to run with however we unify the House. We also need to move quite quickly because we're talking about the potential compromise of the 2020 elections. And so this is not just about something that has occurred. This is about preventing a potentially disastrous outcome from occurring next year. So she tells the truth, and the rest of them also do. They don't get attention in the mainstream press, in the leftist progressive mainstream press, because to reveal everything they say in the context they say it would be damaging to their cause. And their cause? Destroying the presidency that you voted for. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. Great to have you along today. Back to the weekend trip, I want to assure you that no iguanas were injured in our trip to Florida. They're doing fine now, by the way. It is the Monday edition of the podcast. Monday, the 27th day of January, the year 2020. Diving in, talking about things as they pertain to the news in America today. And, of course, the forefront of the news. Everything is anti-Trump. Must destroy the president. And what it all boils down to is that the Democrats know they have nobody who can defeat him. They have no policies that appeal to the reality of America. And real Americans who are paying attention to what's going on are beginning to realize the Democrats are insane. And they have nothing to fight with, so they're fighting dirty. As dirty as possible. And they spent 3 days last week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, spewing for hour upon hour upon hour, unsubstantiated, sometimes completely false information. And people are sick of it. Like I said, people don't care. People aren't watching. The only people who are really up in arms about it are the people who are just, they're political junkies, or they just have a visceral, deep hatred for Donald Trump. That's what's going on. Well, finally, Saturday, President Donald Trump's impeachment defense team laid out 6 key facts on the Ukraine to rebut the Democrats' arguments. It was brief, just a couple of hours. It was pointed, and even progressives, leftists in the media, some are saying it was brilliant. Deputy White House Counsel Mike Perpera summarized the arguments in his opening remarks. Quote, the president did absolutely nothing wrong. And he blasted the Democrats' arguments as unfounded and contrary to the facts. He insisted, the truth is simple and it's right before our eyes. The president was at all times acting according to our national interest in pursuit of his oath of office. And to demonstrate this, he laid out the 6 key facts. He said, first, the transcript shows that the president did not condition either security assistance or a meeting on anything. The paused security assistance funds aren't even mentioned in the July 25 call. Second, President Volodymyr Zelensky and other Ukrainian officials have repeatedly said there was no quid pro quo and no pressure on them to review anything. Indeed, they've insisted this many times. Third, the President Zelensky and high-ranking Ukrainian officials did not even know the security assistance was paused until the end of August, over a month after the July 25 call. Fourth, not a single witness testified that the president himself said there was any connection between any investigations and security assistance, a presidential meeting, or anything else. Fifth, the security assistance flowed on September 11th, and a presidential meeting took place on September 25th without the Ukrainian government announcing any investigations. In other words, if there was any quid pro quo to begin with, the quid pro quo failed. Finally, he noted that none of the Democrats' arguments can change the fact that, as attested by the Democrats' own witnesses, that President Trump has been a better friend and stronger supporter of Ukraine than his predecessor. These key six facts were established by the evidence the Democrats themselves presented in the impeachment trial. He argued, these powerful arguments eviscerate the impeachment argument that the president engaged in abuse of power by pressuring Ukraine to supposedly interfere in the 2020 presidential election. In fact, Democrats' own impeachment case is arguably an attempt to interfere in the election. In his opening statement, Trump's lawyer Pat Cipollone condemned the impeachment as the most massive interference in an election in American history. He told the Senate, they're asking you to tear up all of the ballots across this country on your own initiative. Take that decision away from the American people. Which side's abusing power here, really? Seriously, which side is abusing their power? Do you remember in one of those witness testimony sessions, one of their own witnesses, one of the witnesses called by the Democrats, because if you remember, they didn't allow the Republicans to call the witnesses they wanted. So one of the witnesses called by the Democrats even looked them in the face and said, you're the ones abusing your power. Because they wouldn't go to the courts to determine whether or not what they sought from the administration was appropriate or not. They wouldn't allow the courts to decide it, so they decided to push and bully and abuse their power. So, the defense team has essentially eviscerated the Democrat attempt to impeach the president. And they used the Democrats' own evidence against them. It was a quick 2.5-hour presentation on Saturday. They knew nobody's watching. They knew nobody's there. They knew nobody's paying attention. The numbers have been very low as far as viewership is concerned. And they're even lower on a Saturday. Why? What did you do Saturday? Did you watch this? Of course you didn't. You have other things to do. Among them, having fun. And this, trust me, is not fun to watch. But today, they dial things back up again. Today should be very interesting. Today, we'll hear more from Donald Trump's defense team. And I have a feeling you'd better go find some dependable sources to get your information from. Because CNN, MSNBC, the NBC Nightly News, those guys, they're going to skip everything that's inconvenient for their perspective. They just are. They're already doing it. There's no reason to assume they would change their methods today. So I would suggest that you find a trusted source online who is giving you the whole story. And there are places, if you'll do a little searching, there are conservative media outlets on the web that are not mainstream media outlets, who will be streaming what they can, and they will be offering you commentary to explain things, because there are things that will be legalistic and things that are unfamiliar to the average guy and gal. And so they will offer explanations for those things. That's a very handy thing. For example, they kept tossing that word exculpatory around. And they never bothered to explain because everybody in the room understood what the word meant. But some people felt it wise to explain that means evidence which it would exonerate the accused party. Exculpatory evidence. Well, there'll be people offering that kind of explanation today, but you won't find it on CNN, MSNBC, or as I said, the network news, whether it be NBC, ABC, or CBS. And I know that to be true again because I watched a pretty good bit of NBC News while we were on our trip. That was the news channel of choice. And, you know, when you're a guest, you don't dictate what news channel you watch. And it was interesting to see negative, negative, negative without any balance. Yikes. And bringing balance to the situation, Texas Senator Ted Cruz Saturday dismantled some of the major fallacies in a Democrat's impeachment case. In an episode of Verdict with Ted Cruz, the Cuban-American Republican senator from the Lone Star State broke down the old lawyer's trick that the Democrats were employing in their closing statements before the Senate. Asked by Daily Wire host Michael Knowles if the Democrats' arguments were deceptive, Cruz's answer was unequivocal, yes. And they were deceptive using lots of different tools. He continued, here's a particular logical construct that the House managers used to be deceptive. They used this several times, and it's a logical construct of X, not Y. He went on to explain what he means by X, not Y, and illustrate the different rhetorical tools that Democrats are using to deceive senators and the American public. He says, they say, for example, that President Trump and Republicans bought the narrative that Ukraine, and not Russia, interfered in the 2016 election. Now, X is right. Ukraine did interfere in 2016. The lie, the deception, is the not why. It is obvious that Russia did interfere in 2016. That happened, and anyone who looks at the evidence recognizes that. The fact that Russia did interfere doesn't mean no other country did. Knowles noted, it's true that the Republicans are saying that Ukraine interfered, but it's not true that Republicans are also saying, therefore, Russia did not interfere. And Cruz responded, and it would be false if we say Russia did not interfere. That's a false statement. He then delivered another example of how the House managers are using misleading arguments. The House managers said over and over again, the president wanted the announcement of an investigation and not an actual investigation. X and not Y. There's lots of evidence Trump wanted an investigation announced. There is zero evidence that Trump did not want an actual investigation. The House managers asserted over and over again, an announcement and not an actual investigation. They've never cited any evidence whatsoever. By the way, think about it. In what universe would Trump not want an investigation? And you see how that works? In each case, there's a truth and a lie. They compare a truth with a lie, X and not Y. The Daily Wire host observed the notion that Trump only wanted an announcement of an investigation makes no sense, saying the Democrats' trick here is that they're making a true statement using the true statement to cover up for the false statement, they say immediately afterward. And Cruz said yes, and the media does this all the time. That logical construct, X and not Y, is a real giveaway that they're engaging in lawyerly sleight of hand. He also noted that X not Y is a go-to trick used by House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff. He added, by the way, Adam Schiff says it very smoothly. He says it smiling. And to date, I haven't seen anyone contradicting it and pointing out that half of that sentence is a total deception. It is an incredibly deceptive trick. And yes, there is a reason lawyers are so beloved. So now you know. They've been using deceptive tactics through this entire process, presenting lies as though they were true. And that's just the way they operate. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton, your occasionally humble host here on this Monday edition of the podcast. On my personal Facebook page, which I've explained before, it's not a public page. I do have a public page under my name, Mark Congleton, and you can find that page, and I do share things here and there, now and then, on that page. In fact, today's live feed, the Facebook live feed, is going out on that page, as well as the Daily Perspective podcast page. I try to remember that. I don't always remember to link both pages together, but today it's going out there that way. I'm trying to remember every day, but I don't. Anyway, on my personal Facebook page yesterday morning, I posted a photo. And it was during the preparation of breakfast yesterday morning before Jane and I left Pensacola, heading back home. And it was a plate full of delectable, delicious Kaneka sausage links. Now, for those of you not in the state of Alabama, Kaneka is a county in southern Alabama. There is a town there named Evergreen, and in Evergreen, right there on the interstate exit off of I-65, there is the Kaneka Sausage Company. And the Kaneka Sausage Company has grown from over the decades into something rather large. In fact, I don't know about the rest of the country, but here in the Southeast, you can find Kaneka sausage in the cooler cases in the meat section at Walmart stores, at Winn-Dixie's, at Piggly Wiggly's. You can find Kaneka sausage all over the place. And it is truly phenomenal sausage. It's just amazing sausage. And the story in my family, my dad says, since my grandfather and the founder of Kaneka sausage, the Kaneka Smokehouse, they were buddies. They were hunting buddies, and they used to slaughter their kills. They used to slaughter hogs together. They used to make sausage and things like that. My dad says that recipe is my grandfather's recipe. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but it's one of those, you know, so-and-so says grandpa thought that up. But I heard more substantiation for the story over the weekend that everybody was very close when this was all founded and started. And it very well could be that my grandfather, Pop, had something to do with the recipe for Kaneka sausage, which is beloved by people everywhere you can find it. Well, I posted that photo, and I'm sitting here looking at an ad right now on Facebook for a different brand of sausage. I have never, ever, 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 ever seen a sausage ad on Facebook. Never. Not once in the entire time. And I've been on Facebook since like the beginning. I've never seen this happen. And today, save on sausage. Print your coupon today. And it's a different brand of sausage. In a way, it's creepy. In a way, I really got to admire it. it's just weird. What else is there? Oh, and that's another. Why is it that when you search for something one time, that from then on, that's what you see in the sidebar ads? That's what you see. It's because they're examining everything you look for, and they're saying, maybe we can sell some to him. Maybe we can sell. I get emails every day from, it's not Overstock, it's Wayfair, wayfair.com, because I searched, I signed up at one point. You know how you sign up to get discounts and that sort of a thing. Yeah, sure, I'll take your emails. I can get discounts. And at that point, my wife and I were going to be replacing two of the toilets in our house, in the bathrooms, in a couple of the bathrooms in our house. And I was searching, looking for deals. And Wayfair, an ad popped up, and I said, well, maybe let me go look over there and see if they, you know, maybe they do. And now, every day, I'm not exaggerating, every single day, I get an email ad from Wayfair.com, and part of that ad is toilets every single day. It never fails. All right, back to the stuff. According to the folks over at The Blaze, there is a report. And according to President Donald Trump's legal team, Democrats are concealing the testimony of a major witness the House questioned during its investigation into the Ukraine matter. Remember, they did behind-closed-door basement meetings, and they interviewed people that you never got to see. And they denied all access to the transcripts of those meetings. They don't want you to see their testimony. Why? Well, this is one example. Alex Swoyer and S.A. Miller at the Washington Times reported that House Democrats are refusing to disclose the testimony of Michael Atkinson, the intelligence agency inspector general with first-hand knowledge of the origins of the whistleblower complaint that resulted in Trump's impeachment. At least one Republican who was present during Atkinson's testimony says the reason why Democrats are not sharing the information is because it does not advance House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff's impeachment case against the president. Quote, the reason it hasn't been released is it's not helpful to Schiff. It's not helpful to the whistleblower. That's according to Representative John Ratcliffe of Texas, who goes on to say it raises credibility issues about both of them. The Times also noted that the evidence may be potentially exculpatory for the president. However, members of the House Intelligence Committee who conducted the interview are not allowed to disclose the details of the discussion, as it could reveal potentially sensitive intelligence information. Republicans on the committee believe that Atkinson's testimony should be part of the Senate trial record. Ratcliffe told the Washington Times, it addresses the issue about contacts between Schiff and his staff and the whistleblower, and what the inspector general knows about that. So those are material facts that should be talked about, but Adam Schiff has presented that. Iowa Republican Senator Joni Ernst agrees with Ratcliffe and maintains that House Democrats should have submitted the transcript to the Senate for its impeachment trial. She says, we should be allowed to take a look at that. But again, they have stated numerous times in their brief they had overwhelming evidence. It would be so clear to everyone, and I haven't seen that yet. She's absolutely right about that. They've said again and again and again, we have overwhelming evidence of corruption. We have overwhelming evidence of collusion with Russia. We have overwhelming evidence. I've seen it, and you'll see it soon. And absolutely none of it has come forward. None of it. Those interrogations, those meetings, those interviews in behind closed doors, sealed away from the American public, sealed away so that you can't see what was actually said. You can't see the questions that were answered. You can't know the information. And the primary reason is not because of national security. It's because those answers to those questions would exonerate the president. And they can't have that. Speaking of the whistleblower, there is a story coming from Analyzing America about emails which allegedly are tying the whistleblower to a meeting on Burisma in the White House in the Obama administration. Emails from New York Times journalist Ken Vogel have revealed new information regarding Burisma and the Obama White House. On May 1st, 2019, Vogel contacted State Department official Kate Schilling about a story he was working on regarding an Obama administration meeting in January 2016 with Ukrainian prosecutors, reported by the Washington Examiner. In the email, Vogel mentioned the name of the CIA analyst who is believed to be the whistleblower as part of Vogel's inquiry into the Obama administration's meeting on January 2016 with Ukrainian prosecutors. The whistleblower's complaint sparked impeachment proceedings that led to two articles of impeachment, abuse of power and obstruction of justice. New questions are being asked of the alleged Ukraine whistleblower following the release of this email from Vogel. Fox News host Laura Ingraham reported last Wednesday evening she obtained a chain of State Department emails stemming from a standard request for comment from New York Times journalist Ken Vogel. Vogel's reporting initially generated scrutiny of Hunter Biden's ties to Ukrainian gas company Burisma. Hunter Biden, son of former Vice President Joe Biden, served on the board of the Ukrainian gas company Burisma. Oh, and sidebar, he was seen over the past weekend after after an expensive meal with his wife, loading up in his Porsche Panamera. This is the guy who's trying to convince people he's broke. He has no money. He can't pay child support to his baby mama, the former stripper. That guy. The guy who was paid $85,000 a month. That's $1 million a year by Burisma to be on their board of directors, though he had absolutely zero prior experience in the gas industry. Back to the article. In the email, Vogel wrote, "We are going to report that State Department official Elizabeth Zentos attended a meeting at the White House on 1/19/2016 with Ukrainian prosecutors and embassy officials, as well as redacted from the NSC. The subjects discussed include efforts within the United States government to support prosecutions in Ukraine and the United Kingdom of Burisma Holdings, and concerns that Hunter Biden's position with the company could complicate such efforts. This was discussed at the highest levels in the White House." Laura Ingraham said this email was forwarded to Schilling's colleagues, Zentos and George Kent. The conversation ended on May 3rd with the Senate, with the State Department declining to comment. Interesting. The more we peel back, the more we dig in, the more we discover that this all comes from the Obama administration. And the more we see, the more convincing it is that the Obama White House and all of his minions understood what a conflict of interest it was to have Hunter Biden involved with Burisma. And that when you understand that, it becomes more and more apparent that they were all responsible for covering that up and then using it to condemn Donald Trump. Hey, that's it for the Monday edition. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you right back here tomorrow for the next edition of The Daily Perspective. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.